Blog Talk. We are live here on Transformation Radio. I'm your host, Sean Douglas. Welcome, welcome, welcome to all our listeners who are listening from wherever you are. Life Transformation Radio is all about life's transformations and how we got from point A to point B with the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that we have poured into what we're doing now. It is all about our transformations. And my guest today is my good friend and colleague and military brother and outside of work brother all around, Mike Phillips. Mike Phillips joined the Air Force in 1994. He has spent the last 23 years serving his country and has been stationed and deployed all over the world in places like England, Japan, Crete, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar, as well as various Air Force bases in the United States like Arizona, Texas, and is currently in North Carolina. During this time, he has been a certified instructor in leadership, management, and communication, a senior human resources manager, and an Air Force certified master resiliency trainer that teaches the four pillars of resilience. He has amassed approximately 8,000 teaching hours total. Mike's passion is helping people uncover their natural abilities to achieve the highest levels of success in their lives. He does this through assisting with self-discovery tools such as emotional intelligence, the EQI, Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, the MBTI, Shipley Communications Four Lenses, Temperament Discovery, David Kiersey Temperaments, and the DISC Profile. These tools are used to focus on self-awareness to help people maximize their self-management to ignite relationships and open meaningful communication channels. Mike is also a John Maxwell Team Professional Business and Life Coach, speaker, and trainer that focuses in on key areas such as living a greater, purposeful life and taking leadership potential to the highest level in your personal and professional life. He is also a trained mediator, alternative dispute resolution, conflict resolution professional, and a certified behavioral coach. His heart and soul is to help improve lives and aid in the discovery of an individual's life purpose to enable exponential growth. He hopes to one day own his own business that focuses on human capital enhancement. Bro, you sound like I'm buying a Maserati right now. You are, like, you literally have the credentials that list, like, every option that, like, the Z71 Tahoe would have.
Right. I was listening to you, and I was like, man, is this ever going to end? I was just, goodness gracious. It's like you're in a speaking presentation, and then you just go on and on and on and on.
So I got to ask you, man, so why do all that stuff, man? Like, what brought you to where you are now?
Honestly, a lot of it was the way I grew up. I grew up not getting a lot of support and encouragement and not getting a lot of assistance in life skills, if you will, assistance in what was right and what wasn't right as far as how to. You know. So as I got out of the house, you know, left home and joined the military, you know, at first the military was kind of an escape, get somewhere else. And then after about year six, I undid the knucklehead button that was so prevalent in my life because I was quite the knucklehead my first 6 years. And then literally one day, two things happened at the same time. One, I got in what's called Airman Leadership School, which is a junior level leadership development, and I got promoted all in the same, like, 2 days. And it was then I realized that I had a responsibility. And ever since then, my responsibility has been focused on growing people to the best they can. So, from my childhood to now, it's kind of what drove it, you know. And then now it's my passion. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me, who is Mike Phillips? Prior to where you are now, who was Mike Phillips in 1994 joining the military? Who was Mike Phillips?
Man, that's a dangerous question. honestly, I didn't have a clue about anything. I got through life in survival mode. Just trying not to piss anybody off. And, you know, because of that, I had a rough start. When I left home, it took me quite a bit of emotional turmoil and old stuff to get through, emotional baggage. It took me quite a bit to get through. The Mike Phillips prior to 1994 is not the same Mike Phillips. He has changed significantly.
Definitely.
Which is good. But I think the Mike Phillips of then would be jail or dead in a ditch somewhere. Hard to.
Yeah, definitely.
So, looking back, what exactly do you think was your transformation? Like, how did you get to this point? What was the vehicle that got you here?
I think the real vehicle was after I spent some time as section chief for a mid-level manager. I had some moments where I made things personal. And those moments that I made personal, of course, I didn't learn until afterwards in reflection the impact that they had on my life. But those mistakes that I made and those errors in leadership, judgment, relationships that I made really set the tone for what I needed to become. So the transformation actually occurred probably a year and a half after I left that job. I look back, as I was teaching leadership, others, teaching others how to be, you know, effective managers and effective communicators, I was also reflecting back on my own leadership. I put that in air quotes. It wasn't quite leadership. By the grand definition that we all know what leadership is, kind of the opposite. But those core mistakes and those core errors that I made literally shattered my world when I got to the point of like realizing how poor those mistakes were. And so to a point, like now I talk to junior leaders about those mistakes to help them, you know, see the same errors and judgment I made. And that drove everything else. You know, once I got to that point, there was no stopping me. I'm going to keep growing this way and keep going to the things that, you know, I'm attracted to, because a lot of the instruments and tools and things I'm involved in, a big hand of everything is self-reflection. And that reflection enables me to kind of really capture the benefit of the tool, as well as use it to help coach people and mentor people.
Awesome. So why human capital investment? Like, what, if you had to sum it up, what is human capital investment? Is it investing in yourself or investing in someone else? What exactly would you consider human capital investment?
So the true priority of human capital investment is work on the people that get the job done. You know, in the military experience, you can relate to this. We're so task-focused that we will just roll over people without even much thought, you know, afterwards. Just like, oh, we should have thought of that, take care of that. My area of focus, human capital investment, is more of a focus on building people at the lowest level, meaning self-awareness more part of it, to help them raise their own abilities and own capacities, to encourage them to become better people. So, and it goes to organizational levels. So we don't just focus on the low-level subordinates. We focus on the mid-level, executive level, because true change is driven by your executive-level leaders, and they have to also be aware of their impact and their leadership style. So human capital investment really encompasses the idea that it's all about putting energies and focus on actual building and development of people to make them better than they were, if you will, help empower them to contribute more effectively on a daily basis instead of always being reactive and reactionary. My human capital investment idea, that arena.
Yeah.
So build a better production model, if you will, stop being so primarily focused only on tasks.
Yeah, absolutely. So Remember, this is a live show. If you'd like to call in and talk to Mike, the number to call is 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. So you joined the military, and what was your job in the military when you first joined?
I was an avionics troop.
Avionics troop. Okay, yeah. So you go through, you know, we go through the ranks in the military. You know, you go through the airmen and the junior NCOs, you know, non-commissioned officers. So you go through all that. At what point did you say, I'm going to become an instructor, or I want to be a trainer, or I want to do more than I already am? What sparked that?
So that actually happened in 2003. I was thinking about this today, as a matter of fact. What drugged me to this point I'm at? You know, what pulled me? What force drove me here? And in 2003, they stood up a new suicide prevention program for the Air Force. I was stationed in Mildenhall, United Kingdom, there in England. And they needed somebody to take this new program and teach it to the squadrons. So we had about 180 people. It became my job to teach this new program. So I had to go in there and learn. And that's where actually where I first learned.
And you're a speaker.
I'm a robot. Don't make fun of me. That's not nice. Just kidding.
I do the same thing.
I know, right?
I mess up. I'm like, yep, I get paid for this.
You either roll with it or you just really draw attention to it.
Right.
I think right now I'm drawing attention to it. Thanks to you. So in 2003, they needed somebody to stand this program up, and I raised my hand. That's actually where I learned the first, it used to be called the anchor points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where I first founded Resilience. They had Resilience. It's called Pillars now. Anchors. New suicide prevention program focused in on four areas. And so from there, I really just, every opportunity that came up for me to teach, I was drawn to it because, one, I love the exploration of the topic, and two, love being able to power up. I feel like I was connected. Drawing them to, it became quite an inspiration to me.
Awesome. Yeah, man, that's kind of like what I did, man. I said, you know, I kind of want to invest more in people, and I went through, you know, my kind of tragedy and my adversity, and on the other side was this opportunity to kind of give back. So, yeah, definitely, I can relate to that. So what was the best part about this whole entire transition? Was it becoming a John Maxwell speaker or learning the Myers-Briggs and Four Lenses, which if you don't know what the Myers-Briggs and Four Lenses are, it is – amazing, amazing tool. People who know about these tools will be like, oh, you're definitely like a blue, or no, you're an introvert, you're definitely a green, or, you know, whatever. Like, it's so funny because people who know how to use it are definitely analyzing people, which I think psychologists and therapists do anyways, but that's just my opinion. But I think that when you're talking to somebody and you turn around and like, yep, definitely a blue, and then you keep on going with the conversation, it's almost like, I don't know. It's just what I noticed. So talk to us briefly about exactly what Myers-Briggs does and what Four Lenses does.
Okay, so Myers-Briggs is based on Carl Jung philosophy, that we're all kind of born with an innate type of preference, if you will. And then Isabella Myers and Catherine Briggs, her daughter, got together and developed this kind of instrument to help people evaluate. Which developed a four-letter type, which is actually based on 16 different dichotomies. Intuition and sensing, thinking, feeling. I don't want to get into it real deep because it's a little complex. But basically, it just kind of gives a person a profile based on their first choice test. Kind of helps them raise awareness about it. What it doesn't do, it doesn't paint anybody into a box or stovepipe. It just kind of explains it. If the instrument is used correctly, the indicator is used right, then a person has greater awareness to see themselves. Relationship, communication, process. If it's used incorrectly and weaponized, Mm-hmm. Then it becomes this thing that's not. Lawyers try to use it. So that's what basically the Myers-Briggs. The four lenses kind of takes the same kind of, it pulls from Myers-Briggs as well, but it uses what's called temperaments. So instead of a four-letter type, it uses like NT, NF, SP, SJ. Those are just basically temperaments, how people behave, how they behave.
Right.
So that's where you get the whole blue, orange, gold discussion. It's a lot of fun because I think I like the most about temperaments is it's so readily evident. You can go through a temperament discovery kit, and within 2 hours, people are like, oh my God, my mind's blown. That is so you, or that is so me. And then they start, like, I just did one in Charlotte last month, and it was actually one of the respondents actually communicating back and forth with me. The challenges they were having, I was like, well, have you considered, you know, what you are? And she said, well, I think she's born. I was like, okay, so you have to understand that's right brain driven, that's creativity. Spring, you know, potential. 2 weeks later, she said, hey, progress. Picked up recent stuff in school.
Perfect. I mean, that's cool, you know. Yeah, absolutely. So, have you used a lot of this training outside of the military, or is it strictly a military thing?
So it's been a mix. I would say primarily in military, but my focus on the military side is the core human development. I like to build my leaders to do things more driven by how we do coaching. Analog ABC. I do use a lot of guide leaders, and also to do a little what I call a psychological ninja chop.
Okay.
And that's just me taking them through a course thought that brings them to where they need to be.
Wow.
Can't tell them all the time, but I can guide them and get them where I need them to be. And I've had civilians too who've.
Yeah, I know that you've definitely helped me out a lot over the past couple years. Late night phone calls, and you know, I don't know what to do about this, and you know, so definitely appreciate all that. So, what do you think the best part about it? Like, if you had to take everything from 94. So right now we're sitting here together, you know, and you put everything in a box and you're kind of just itemizing what's in your box. What do you think the best part about the past, 20 some odd years, 22 years or something? What do you think the best part about it is?
I think the best part, honestly, I know the best part is my wife. Her and I have grown through a lot of turmoil, strife, and if it weren't for her, I don't think I'd have the motivation to be who I am. I'm not who I am because of her. I'm definitely who I am with her and through her. She's my big supporter. Before coming over here, she's like, I'm so proud of you. Well, thank you, because her friend told her, hey, this is on the Facebook page. And she's like, oh, okay. And I'm so proud of you for doing this. I think it's good for you. She's like my cheerleader of sorts. And
she's in your front row, man, cheering you on.
Man, she is like A1, number one board of directors. You know,
yeah.
She sits on the first chair, everything. You know, of course, my son.
Who's awesome.
He has taught me a lot about me. Actually, like, when I'm kind of bent, he is a person that I can kind of talk to. He processes the way I do so he can think like I do. But he gives me a perspective from a different place that I don't have. And, you know, and it's kind of an odd thing, getting mentally slapped by your son. But it's okay, you know. It's good. It's humbling, which we all need anyway. We need more humility in the world. And I would definitely say you know, with humility comes desire to communicate and keep bridges. I found it definitely. There was a 1 and a 1.1 on the board of directors. 1 and 1.1.
Right.
A 1.01 or whatever. Whatever's closest to 1, because I'm telling you, they've both been a big part. So honestly, the best part, I mean, the military has been a kick. I have thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it. Time I can look back and go, suck. Even if it did suck, I learned a lot from it. Seized every moment I can.
Yeah.
Experience in uniform is. But the things that I've learned and taken off. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Consider like, we're going to drop what we're doing and go over there and take care of it. The kind of relationship. All those things are definitely.
That's awesome. So not to be a Debbie Downer, but what do you think was the worst part about it all?
My perspective is usually one that sees the good in most things. Like I just said, I don't really see anything in my military experience necessarily bad. I've had some experiences in my life that have created. You know, I had a deployment in 2013, and I had a sexual assault victim. She dumped a lot on me. You know, before it was, I knew it was too much. You know, so for a good bit of time, over 2 months, I was dealing with her. I became her kind of confidant. Good for her to help, good for me to help. Basically, it came down. So I'm struggling through PTSD. I would say if anything ever sucks, that would be the one thing that sucks.
Yeah.
It's the PTSD side.
Yeah. It's almost like a what do they call it? A side effect hazard of the job, I guess.
It can be. I was a first sergeant and
oh yeah.
In that role. And I'd do it all again the same exact way I did it.
Sure.
If I needed. Yeah, it was a lot of it was tense and stressful, and we were able to get her home. Thing wash dishes. Hey, nudge me. Hey, here, and we started noticing that a whole lot, and it was happening when I was driving too. Started getting kind of. I guess I was getting low and depressed. Fast forward to coming to Seymour. Some other things happen. Chronic pain. Lost my pet, of course.
Yeah, that was bad.
So that kind of kicked off a series of events. Mm-hmm. I was really good at faking it. I'm okay, and then that happened.
Right.
And then that became the last straw. So for like the last 2 years, I've been kind of three, honest. Going through stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But what's great, I think, is that you have the tools, though. Like, you know, like we're both resilience trainers. We're both, you know, we've got the trainer life coach in us already. I mean, based on the paths that we've taken in the military and outside of the military and whatnot. And, you know, I think that we're, I don't want to say better equipped, but I mean, we literally have a tool bag of things. And I think it's so, no matter who I talk to, we're always better at giving advice to everybody else rather than giving advice to ourselves or listening to the advice that we're talking about other people. Like, I just think it's so, I don't know why that happens. You know, maybe we're our own worst critic, or... You know, or we're afraid that if we give ourselves advice and it doesn't work out, that maybe that it won't validate what we're doing. Like, if we give ourselves advice and then we're like completely wrong, we're like, oh, well, that sucks.
I don't know anything.
Yeah, I don't know anything. But, you know, I think that having the tools that we have with the resilience and then you with the, I mean, especially the conflict stuff. I mean, that I think that's huge. That is major. Everybody needs a little bit of that, some interpersonal problem solving. You know what I mean? Working through things. I mean, we just talked a couple days ago, you know, about some things that I was thinking about. I'm like, why am I even thinking about this? Like, it doesn't have anything to do with me. But again, we have to be master of meaning and build that mindset that, you know, we're in our lane and we're not in anybody else's journey or in everybody else's lane or whatever. We have to stick with what we're doing. And then when we come to an obstacle or roadblock, depending on if it's internal obstacles and external roadblocks, right? I mean, we have the tools ready. So with all that said, what I'm trying to get at, outside of your immediate family and maybe me and, you know, like Stan, who has been your biggest influencer? Could be John Maxwell, could be, you know, like your grandma or uncle or whatever. Like, who, besides those people that we named, who is your biggest influencer?
So this is a weird one for me because I study so many different areas. I can't with any certainty say John Maxwell. It's like really kind of started impacting the way. Mark Sanborn.
Oh my gosh.
He's a huge red factor. You know, Stephen Covey was. Six of Seven Highly Habits. If you know me, I didn't go there for organization because I'm not organized.
Yeah.
That's not even a word in my vocabulary. It's just a word I say out loud because I heard it one time. You know, so it's hard to nail down who was one influencer. Because I've had to do a lot to prove to myself I can do it. I think it's been a combination. There's been several examples in my life, several non-examples in my life.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So you mentioned Mark Sanborn, and actually, he has a what do you call it? Like a class, or like it's on a DVD. Like, literally, you can buy the DVD. I forgot it's leadership class, but I remember watching it and I took some notes. Like, Mark Sanborn says, like, ROI is relationships, outcomes, improvements, and self mastery is the ratio between promises made and promise kept.
Yep.
You know, and he, I mean, tons of leadership stuff. You know, leaders create teams, not groups. They take responsibility, not credit. They live by competence. Leaders connect. They promote. Leaders will promote or pollute. Mm. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man, when you mentioned Mark Sanborn, I was like, dude, I literally have this whole thing that I was taking
Simon
notes.
Simon Sinek is another one.
Oh, Simon Sinek is awesome.
I love that guy.
I need to get him on the show, man.
He would do it too.
So amazing. It would be so amazing if I could have him on here.
He's very military oriented.
But I've got the next best thing, right? I got the Mike Phillips. You know, John Maxwell speaker here.
For all those listening, he just made a comparison. Remember this on February 21st. Simon, if you're listening.
You're my Simon Sinek, Mike. You're my Simon. You're my person.
I can only hope to aspire to be
a
greater Simon.
Simon is amazing.
You know, he's actually inspired me to kind of consider writing a book on leadership.
Got to.
I've been kicking around for like 5 years now, so I've been kind of thinking about it, and guys like Simon Sinek, you know, obviously John Maxwell has a big influence there. And this guy named Sean Douglas, who went out and wrote his own book. Kind of influenced that a little bit too. Like, I think I can. I'm pretty sure I can.
Well, man, if this guy can do it, I mean, who's Sean? I mean, this guy's nobody.
Whatever.
So who's your? So again, I mean, besides like me and your wife and your son, Who has been your biggest supporter? I mean, outside of that, you know, I mean, we're all, you know, in your front row cheering you on. Like, who has been your biggest supporter? Another hard one.
It is a hard one. Every effective relationship I've ever made, and I say effective for purpose, you have relationships, then you have effective relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Relationships that wander like, hey, I know that guy, kind of collective association.
Yeah, like, yeah.
But effective relationships have kind of a give and take measure. You talk to somebody, they give you this, talk to you, you give them. But collectively, I say within my effective relationships, every single person in my life that has been a core part of effective relationships. There's no way to name them.
Right.
There's quite a few. But I would say any person who I've ever considered to be of value in my life has been there beside me, cheering me on, asking me for, you know, asking me for guidance, questioning, mentorship, balance. Sometimes I'm really good at silver lining stuff. You know, I can tell you the best part of any bad situation. There's every bad thing has a good thing in it.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
You know, hunt
the good stuff.
It's just the way I try to see things, because I've done the always bad thing and it sucks. I've been there in the always bad thing.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't prefer to like that one too much.
Definitely, definitely. So, again, if you'd like to dial in and ask Mike a question, the number is 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. We are talking with John Maxwell, speaker, and Air Force veteran Mike Phillips here on Life Transformation Radio. So do you feel like your transformation is complete? I mean, are you at the pinnacle? I mean, is that it? Is this it for you? Or, I mean,
no.
You don't feel like it's complete?
No, I would consider myself about 70%. You know, I always like to envision the idea that above my head is a sign. Do you remember the old defrag bars?
Yes.
On the old computers?
Yes.
You know,
old,
so,
like Windows 98.
So you think back to those, and for you millennials, that look it up on Google, you can see a defrag window.
It's in the computer history hall of fame.
I don't know if it exists anymore.
Right.
Maybe when you're downloading a game on your Xbox, and you get the bar, and it says 68%, and you're like, why won't you just load, please, for crying out loud?
Yeah.
And that was not a slide against any millennials. I was just trying to relate. I'm an old guy.
They wouldn't know what dial-up means.
Right. Dial-up.
Why did it hang up?
I don't understand. What is 56K? I'm only getting 12K. You know what that means.
Oh,
so,
boy.
Anyway, I consider myself always under construction. And I don't believe that I'm ever at the pinnacle. Am I successful? You sure?
Yes, I would agree with that.
I would say, yeah, that I'm a successful. But is there more to it? And I believe there is. You know, and the John Maxwell team, I joined that because I've been pursuing it for years. You know, it creates. I got involved in the business I'm involved in.
Absolutely.
I know there's more out there. A new one that came out called the All in That. Puts it on scale. So it kind of gives you home life, work life. Like skill and other skills, how you use them differently. There's more to it. So, you know, I wouldn't mind getting involved with the bigger team. All with Robbins, Les Brown.
Absolutely.
My issue is probably going to be prioritizing and finding the right one and not try to get all of the ones. Because I'm just interested in doing that stuff. It's not about the brand or the label. I don't, whether you know me as Mike, and
Right.
This other guy. Do they help me a little bit? Yeah, they do. I mean, give me a good conversation starters. But when I'm with you and coaching you and guiding you and teaching you and training you, I want you.
Right. That part, I believe, is Mike. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Not, hey, by the way, I'm a John Maxwell speaker, you know, in the beginning. You know, hey, I'm Myers-Briggs and Four Lines. It's like, hey, I'm, you know, so I'm all this stuff, you know what I mean? Oh, you want to negotiate and become a client and I'll coach you. And cool, now you take that hat off and say, okay, now here's Mike.
This is it.
This is me. This is, you know what I mean? Yeah, definitely.
My whole concern is.
Yeah, and I firmly believe in the fact that I forgot who said it. It was probably Simon or even Ziegler Institute, which Tom Ziegler will be a guest on my show March 22nd.
So
I was
awesome.
Like, no way, this is so awesome.
Sean told me that, and I was like, oh, my God.
He agreed.
Like jumping up and down.
I was like, no way. Because we've been emailing a couple times, you know, because I want to be a Ziegler speaker first and coach first before, you know, become a John Maxwell speaker. Mm-hmm. And I just decided that, you know, I've been on a lot of webinars with Tom Ziegler, and we've been emailing back and forth. And it's funny because we'll be on webinar and bunch of coaching people, whatever, and then all of a sudden he'll be like, "Hey Tom, hey this, and hey there's Sean from North Carolina, hey there's this, there, you know whatever," and he calls me out. I'm like, "What?" So, I mean, he replied directly when I emailed. He just replied directly. He was like, "Yeah, email my secretary right now, man. CC me, and we'll figure out a date." And so he figured out a date, and
that is so,
awesome, I am pumped. And he knows how bad I want to be a Ziegler speaker too.
That's
like,
so great.
So
I'm proud of that, Sean. I really am.
That's my pinnacle. I think I'm just.
Nice. You're nowhere near your pinnacle, brother. Don't even kid yourself.
So I can't remember who exactly said it. The point I was getting at was that I think that, and I firmly believe that if you're not growing, like you're dying or you're shrinking, or you know what I'm saying? Like anybody can read a book and then recite exactly. I mean, we watched that, and what's that movie? Goodwill Hunting, you know what I mean? Where the guy just regurgitates some stuff, you know, whatever. Like anybody can cite a book. Right, but if you're not applying it to your life, mm-hmm. and all of the principles, you know, Greg Reed's got a great book called 3 Feet from Gold, you know, and it's just about that attitude of, you know, the guy buys the mine and then he's just going, no goal. He's like, screw it, I'm just done and I give up. And then he sells the mine to somebody, and then 3 feet later, the guy strikes like the biggest gold,
man.
You know what I mean? Like it's the most, you know, largest gold deposit ever discovered, 3 feet, you know, in to the gold mine. So if, you know. If you don't apply those, because I mean, you can read Dave Ramsey all day, but if you don't apply them, you know, his principles, that it's nothing. You know, same with anybody. So, what makes the John Maxwell part and the Ziegler part, like, what do you think all of those coaching tools, everything, what makes it so attractive for you?
I think a lot of it's principle driven. I'm a principle centered guy as far as leadership goes, and the way I guide and lead people. There's no subjectivity or bias. I think that Maxwell, Ziegler, Robin, Ramsey, groups, they principle organizations. I think if you're going to be an effective leader or effective coach or trainer or speaker, that credibility has to start from somewhat of a standard. You know, military, we have standards.
Oh, yeah.
I honestly believe that, you know, and I've also seen evidence from my own experiences and successes that if you stay principle-centered in your life, as far as how you lead people and lead your home even, you have great success. And people grow from it and people develop from it. So I think those organizations are attractive to me because they are so principle-centered. There's no subjectivity bias. Anything. It's like, hey, so here's the realities. Here's the impact of the realities. Here's how you can make your reality better. You know, and that's basically the.
Excuse me. Yeah, definitely have to agree with that, man. So, with all that said, you know, with your whole transformation, which is absolutely amazing, you know, going through the military career and then kind of flying off, because you didn't just get off of one road. Like, you didn't get off the exit and just change direction. I mean, you were still kind of like me. Like, we're in the military. Mm-hmm. We're doing the resilience thing. We're doing the, you know, but we kind of wide off and branched off and started going kind of parallel lives. You know what I mean?
So where are you headed now, man? Like new adventures, family. I mean, what's new for you, man? What's on the horizon?
On the horizon, I'm waiting on this position. With it. Very formal. I'm a wife and artist.
What?
So
morbid.
It's not morbid. Sorry if I sound morbid. I'm making a joke. But yeah, we're gonna get heavily involved getting out there, speaking and training. Because of my experiences, I'm not locked. So the whole idea of human capital enhanced where I want to focus my I want to go in there. Learn about the organization, learn what they're about, learn their strategy, help people, but in a way that everybody I have a big vision. Excuse me. I have a big vision for the future as far as you know what? I want to go out there and
make an impact.
Make an impact, make things better, you know, make it better. The group here is all about building community capacity. And that's really what that's really what I want to do. So on the horizon, I think, is future work. But all my. Do that.
Perfect. So, looking back, and I, the reason I ask this question is I love people's perspective on this concept. So, if you had to go back, would you change anything, or would you do anything different?
No.
I wouldn't either.
I have no regrets.
I've yet to meet a person that would say, oh, yeah, man, I'd go back, and I'd change this, and I'd change this, and, oh, yeah, I wouldn't do that. And I think there's a level of variation, maybe. Like, man, that was a really dumb decision, and I hurt this person. But by me going back and changing that decision and not hurting them really wouldn't impact where I am now. You know what I mean? But, I mean, we've watched enough, you know, like Back to the Future and, you know, time warp movies where you change one thing and everything kind of skews out of control, you know, and all that stuff. But I think that everything that we've gone through is preparing us for where we're going, you know? So it's really hard to say, you know, oh, yeah, I would change. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. And this was stupid. And this, because every experience that we have, because we definitely make decisions like we learn, you know, in our resilience classes. And that we literally teach that we make decisions based on experiences in similar situations, experiences with, you know, other people that we've come in contact with based on our culture. And it's all in our brain, you know, what we're making decisions on. But the two biggest ones are the experiences in the similar situations. And then those decisions that are made because we don't want to go back to where we were. Like literally like the similar situations, but that exact situation. Like you don't want to go back there. So I find it amazing that a lot of people that I talk to are the same way. Like, no, I wouldn't change anything. Like I can't change anything because I don't know where I would end up.
You have to appreciate and be grateful for what you've gone through. Because the reality is the struggle that you go through and the challenges that you face in your life are the ones that put you where you are and create new avenues of growth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of mistakes in my past, a lot of errors, you know, a lot of influences.
We are live.
Sorry. Trying to talk through it. All those experiences, you have to be grateful for those experiences because they're the ones that create those avenues of growth and opportunities for you to see things differently. Without those, your perspective doesn't change or shift, and maybe one day reality slaps you upside the head and you're not ready for it. But, as you said, those experiences, moments in life and history, if you will, are the ones that define us, kind of, you know, not as, hey, you were that guy or gal, but more of a, hey, you went through some stuff, and look at you now, and you have to look for that way. Looking backwards serves no purpose. You know, I told my son, we're using 2017. Our motto for 2017 is this: later is now.
Yeah.
So stop procrastination and stop talking about you're going to get to it. You know, stop saying I'll do it later. You do it now. If you're thinking about it, just do it. You know, that helps encourage kind of a forward thinking model, if you will, forward progress. And keeps you out of stewing so much on what was. You know, keeps from being static.
Yeah, absolutely. So with no one's help, and we'll go both ways on this. So with no one's help, what was the best resource that you found along the way in your journey?
Best resource.
Yeah. Could be a book, could be a quote, could be an experience that you used and carried. Kind of like a spiritual reminder. You know, we build these spiritual reminders, right? I mean, what was the best resource that you found, that you stumbled upon? No one brought you to it, and it has helped you grow.
I think the first time I was turned on to John Maxwell's 360-degree leader.
Mm-hmm.
That sparked a movement in me, for me to pursue more of it. I'd gone through the Stephen Covey thing, but I didn't have his book. I just kind of went through a course, you know, aimed at or.
You know, do you remember the book title?
Seven Highly Habits of Effective Managers.
Yeah.
Was that one?
Yeah.
That was at the recommendation of my supervisor, because he was a very organized guy, and I was. And he thought I ought to be like him, and I was not.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, within that, we found the 360-year creative for me to perceive. And that kind of opened me up to the other guy. I remember that author's name, Monday Morning Leadership. How full is your bucket? Eat that frog. Pool of fish. I mean, just so at that moment, you know, in that where I was as far as what job I was, teaching leadership education, brought new personal evidence. It's actually the same place I got interested in Four Lenses. I went to Four Lenses Discovery. Yeah, David Cottrell is the author of Monday Morning Leadership. That's it. If you ever get a chance to pick something up, that's a quick read. Monday Morning Leadership.
Business book.
It is. It talks, so basically the premise is this guy is looking for a mentor, and his mentor invites him for coffee, and takes him through some key fallacies entered in his own leadership. His mentor gives him a ninja psychology check, if you will. Whatever I said earlier, however I said it.
Yeah.
And helps him see himself and raises his self-awareness, puts the ball in the leader's court. The leader at the time was blaming the organization, blaming the workers, blaming the environment. Look, that's who owns that. Those kind of books brought me in. And I taught. I think Dave Anderson writes How Full Is Your Bucket?
No.
He writes Dealing with SOB, Stubborn, Obnoxious, Belligerent Customer. I love that, too, because, you know, being a mediator in conflict.
Yeah, How Full Is Your Bucket is Tom Raff and Donald Clifton.
Yeah. Who Moved My Cheese?
What are you watching? What are you reading?
Oh, man, I tell you what. So Who Moved My Cheese is all about change management. I can't remember who wrote that. I'm sorry, authors, if you're listening. I'm not trying to copyright it for this year.
But there's so many books out there.
So many, and honestly,
so many.
I mean, my library is kind of full.
Yeah, there's a stack right here that I'm trying to...
I saw a meme the other day that said, it showed a full bookcase of how many books I bought, and then right next to it was a panel of how many books I read. And there was like 8 books. And compare it to a whole library on the wall. But, you know, like right now, currently, literally, I'm reading probably about 6 books at the same time. Having to divide my time out, schedule. Or
yeah.
Emotional intelligence, an hour. Because I want to learn, I want to help people apply I will tell you that reading Maxwell for knowledge and reading Maxwell for teaching and training, two very different things.
Yeah.
Two very different things. I love it because I already love teaching and training anyway, but you start learning perspective
right.
arenas. You start really trying to like have a good example. Coach somebody. Do that. You start seeing those things. The lights.
Yeah, my favorite from John Maxwell either has to be probably the Invaluable Laws of Growth or Everyone Communicates, Few Connect.
Those are
That's probably the best two. I mean, he's got the, you know, Irrefutable Laws of Leadership and, you know, Failing Forward and like, but the growth part, like you're talking about, like I love the, because I love the growth. Like I don't ever want to stay stagnant somewhere. You know what I mean? Like I want to be content where I am now to be satisfied later. Like I get that concept, but I don't want to feel like I've already, reached the pinnacle of where I am. Ben Cattaneo said something to me yesterday, and it kind of just resonated with me. He said there was a story about a 90-year-old cello player. And they're like, man, you're 90 years old. Like, why are you still playing? He's been playing since he was like 18 or, you know, 16 or something like that. And the cello player responded, I think I'm just starting to get good. Like,
you know,
holy crap.
That's a perfect,
you know?
That's a perfect perspective on living, period.
Yeah.
I mean, I focus a lot on leadership, obviously. But it's not just about leaders. It's about so much more than that. I love that idea. I love that story. I think I'm just now starting to get good. And everybody out there who's in a position of doing anything that influences people or leads people, that's a good message to hear. We talked earlier about humility and the importance of it. I will tell you, like, the moment you lose that is the moment you start losing influence and your ability to lead, no matter what it is. Jason, little league team, I don't care. Human performance is human performance.
Right.
And, you know, that cello story, that's a good one. I mean, really, that's a good one. The minute you think you're at the top and you're good is the minute you get start losing when you work.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Good point, man. So let's do this. Give me a shameless plug. Because on the show, we just do like a shameless plug just for no other reason. Like, I don't know, drink Coke or go Pepsi or go, you know, Carolina Panthers. Give me like a shameless plug, man. Plug something. You can plug your email. You can plug Facebook. Like, whatever you want to plug, man, this is your moment. Promote something.
Shameless plug.
Shameless plug.
Well, you know, I hope today you guys have listened to something, some good things from me. My email address is mikephillips.enhancingleaders@gmail.com. MikePhillips.enhancingleaders@gmail.com. I respond to anything. You know, you can also reach me on my Maxwell site, www.johnmaxwellgroup.com/MikePhillips. You know, and you can look on there and see what kind of things within the Maxwell world I can offer as far as services and stuff. You know, and I'll tell you right now that if you want to take yourself on a journey, I promise you, I can take you some places. You know, you want to live a greater life and help you, because that's my priority. This is my jam, you know, this is my music.
like Jenna Bain would say, this is my jam.
This is my get down, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. As we're wrapping up, if there's any listeners out there that wants to ask Mike a question, your call-in number is 657-383-1109, 657-383-1109. So as we wrap this up, and there were so many, man. I mean, I've gotten to know – I mean, I think every time we talk, I get to know you more on a personal level, man, and I fall more into, you know, the – I don't know what you'd call it, the bro zone, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Like, every time I talk to you, it's like I pick up something more. You know what I mean? And I learn something, and I grow. And man, you're amazing, man. I can't tell you enough, man. I tell you this all the time. Like, you are freaking, like, you are the man. You know, you were a first sergeant in basic training when I was a drill instructor. You know, and we followed kind of, you know, this way. And when I seen you in resilience training, I'm like, who is this guy? Like,
I have to get to know this guy. You know what I mean? Like I want it. Like, it's infectious, man. Like, just your calmness, right? And your way to see things both analytically and not, and look at both sides of everything, and really get that master of meaning down, I think is your asset, man. I really do. So as we wrap this up, give us a nugget of knowledge. And I know there's a lot that you gave, but give me a nugget of knowledge that will motivate or inspire somebody, or what you would tell someone, that'll get them through whatever adversity, transformation, whatever it is, man. What is your quote, spiritual matter, whatever, man? What is your nugget?
So I saw a great quote today. It was something along the lines of the walls that are around you are built by you, or something along those lines. I can't remember exactly what it was. But it resonated with me because it's kind of how I live life. You know, people ask me what my spiritual reminder is, and I'm like, don't tell me what I can't. You know, and that's one I've had to use myself quite often. Because the reality is we have all kinds of lies we tell ourselves. You know, we got the self-defeat, we got the self, you know, self-flagellation. Can't do that. Let me tell you this. It's all lies. Every damn bit of it's a lie. I promise you this. If you sit down and think about the things that you want to do, like literally take a pen and paper, write down the thing that you want to do. I want to block. Whatever, fill in block. And then right below that, you say to yourself, to get to blah, what do I need to do? And right below that, you start drafting out one or two things that you can do right now that can get you to your blah. Whatever it is. I use blah as a general term. You know, if you want to grow your leadership, you want to grow your business, you want to grow a relationship with your spouse, you want to grow a relationship with your son or daughter or family member, you want to grow avocados in the backyard. It don't matter. The point is, once you kind of start figuring out and looking at what you're trying to achieve, once you actually put it in front of you, once you actually put an idea down in front of you, you now take it out of your head and put it into reality. You know, and a lot of times we camp out and we say, I can't do that, I can't do that. You already convince yourself you can't do it without doing any work, without doing any work whatsoever, applying to it. I promise you this, if you put any measure of work, into a goal that you have, I don't care how big the step is. I don't care if it's a 2-millimeter step or if it's a 2-mile step. I don't care. A step is a step, period. And I will tell you that no matter what you're doing in life, as long as you keep taking those steps, I don't care how small they are, tell yourself that. Tell yourself that. It doesn't matter how many steps or how big the step is. It don't matter. A step is a step. And don't ever let anything stop you once you get those feet moving. You draw a plan out. You draw your dream out. You put it down. You look at it. You think about the things that right now that I can do. What steps can I take? Can I make a phone call? Can I draft an email? Can I write this paper? You know, can I whatever? Can I tie this shoe? You know, can I kick that dirt pile over there? I don't care. You can do that. Anything that you want to do, you can do it. I'm going to tell you right now, any step is a good step. And if you're taking steps and you get pushed backwards, guess what happens? You go forward again. It doesn't stop you. Barriers are nothing more than creative puzzles that get put in front of us for us to find ways around. They don't stop us. They don't stop us, period. That's what I will tell you. Any steps to step.
Man. Mic drop. Man. That was... Dude, I was getting fired up over here. I'm like, step to step. Because, I mean, my dream is to talk on the TED stage. You know what I mean? And I got a board behind me.
He does.
You know, my wife got me this board, you know, and Tim Rode actually got me the book, How to Deliver, you know, the TED Talk. So, I mean, I got all these people around me, you know, and even you, man, you're like, man, you can do it, you can do it. And so I'm listening to you, and I'm like, man, a step, like any step, it could be something as little as me going on the TEDx website and looking at the ones that I want to look at, or not even applying, just, am I a good fit, or just crafting and mind melting and whatever, masterminding with people who have been on the TED stage? Because I know a couple of them. I know a couple of them in Canada and, you know, out in California and stuff like that. So, dude, I love that, man. That's like,
Like any step is a good step.
It is.
Any step. Man, that is, wow.
I tell you why I say that, because
yeah,
people get in their heads that they have this goal and they have to achieve the whole thing in math. You know, if I want to do X, then I have to get all of X. The reality is it's not realistic. You can't always get all of X at once.
Right.
You know, so sometimes X requires a little bit of effort in small, hobby steps. You know, sometimes you got to grow the cow before you get the beef.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sorry for all you vegans, vegetarians out there to make a meat. But I'm saying you got to grow the cow before you can get the meat. I'm just, you can't get, you know, a badass cheeseburger.
Without first.
So is there steps, you know, and maybe I can find a better example later.
No, you don't.
A cow to a burger. But,
I just had a weird image in my head, like the farmer's just waiting for this cow to like, come on, get bigger, come on, let's go, come on, my cheeseburger, come on, let's go.
I'm like,
I'm just thinking of like instant gratification, like you're just staring over the cow, like you do on like, remember like Looney Tunes,
yeah,
where like Sylvester would like turn to like,
they turn to food,
the bird would turn to the food.
What a
Looney Tune moment.
The point is, you know, we so much want to achieve everything at one time, and the reality is we can't. Sometimes we need to reach out to people that we know. We need to get a coach. We need to get guidance. We need to Google something. We got to take a class. We got to read a book. We got to talk to a counselor. We got to, you know, write it out, map it out, you know. And once you kind of write it out, map it out, and figure out who, the what, and the bigger thing is the why. You know, why is it a goal? Why do you want to? But once you get it down, there's nothing stopping you. Period. Nothing stopping you. That's reality.
I love it. I love it. Man, brother, this was totally amazing, and I loved every minute of it. And the listeners, I'm sure I'll get some great feedback. And you rocked it, man.
Thanks for having me on, brother.
Dude, this was great. So, thank you, Mike, for being on the show. And to all the listeners out there, life's transformations, man. We got to go through them. It's a part of life. And just remember to find opportunities to live out your values every day. Set values for your life and find opportunities to live those out. I call it living your brand. Until next time, this is Life Transformation Radio. See you next time.